going on? Jermaine Johnson. Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It's a beautiful Monday here in New York. Aaron Rodgers is still a Jet. That's not going to end. And figured there was no better person to have on. We got a loaded week this week. We got two Princeton people on the pod, which will make my brother pretty happy. Let me introduce you to the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. So you can check out on socials, Ross Tucker NFL. Ross Tucker, how are we doing today, man?
Will, I'm doing awesome, man. Good to finally be on the show. I've been familiar with it for a while, obviously. I knew your brother Alex playing football at Princeton back in the day. I wasn't sure if you were older or younger or what the deal was. But no, it's great to be on the show. It's funny. I wanted to come on because Jets fans are like all mad at me. Because honestly, like, just so you know, Will, I love this format and talking with you. When Joe Douglas was with the Eagles, like, I love that guy. I still love that guy. Like, I think he's awesome. Like, he's an old Richmond O-lineman. Like, he loves football. Like, you know, Daniel Jeremiah in here tight. I like Daniel Jeremiah a lot. So I'm a big Joe Douglas fan. However, I do think two things have happened recently that don't look good for him. But I also think, if we dive into a little bit deeper, Will, and maybe you guys will disagree or maybe you'll agree, I don't know, but I just think I'm going to present my perspective and what I think happened, and then you guys can tell me whether or not you think I'm crazy or whatever. Because, you know, I thought, just to kind of give it the 30,000-foot level, thought the Jets overpaid for Aaron Rodgers. I thought the Jets had more leverage than that. We could get into the nitty-gritty of it, but I just didn't, you know, the Green Bay Packers were not going to pay him $60 million this year. They were not going to pay him to be there in training camp. And so we can go back and forth on if the Jets should have driven a harder bargain and kind of, you know, play chicken with the Packers. Do you really want him to come to training camp? Maybe get hurt? Are you sure about that? And then during the draft, it is my belief that the Jets wanted to draft Broderick Jones, and that the Steelers kind of knew that, and the Steelers and the Patriots kind of felt that way too. And that's why the Steelers jumped over the Patriots to get Broderick Jones. And then at that point, the Jets were kind of like, okay, we'll take Will McDonald. Now, Daniel Jeremiah has said that's not the case. You know, I think everybody has to believe what they choose to believe. I choose to believe the Jets, and I feel very strongly about this, would have drafted Broderick Jones. And I think most people think they would have drafted Broderick Jones, which is why the Steelers did what they did.
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. I think part of some of the folks that think they overpaid, I think it also goes hand in hand with if they're at 13 and not 15, they end up with Broderick Jones, right? Like the pick swap doesn't come to bite them. I'd heard going throughout the process that there was like two deals kind of on the table, depending who was on the board for the Jets and the Packers at 13, 14, or in 13 and 15, I apologize, at, you know, in terms of pick swaps. But I always thought it was going to be two twos. And while technically it was two twos, it felt like the conditions I thought were going to be more around either performance or team performance, or maybe a harder bargain for that to go from a two to a one, you know, or the Jets were going to get something back in 25. They didn't. And I think it's worth it. And I think, well, it's probably a little bit of a slight overpay just based on the fact that that's, unless something goes catastrophically wrong, that's going to end up being a two and a one, right? They're going to get up a one next year. If, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't ever really get hurt. And when he has, he's still played close to 65%. I think the one thing is if you're getting bought in Aaron Rodgers, it's worth it. And it seems that way. It's only been a week, but I think that's part of it. But I agree with you. I think I don't buy they were drafting Will McDonald at 15, no matter what, or 13. I think it was Roger. If one of the tackles were there, I think they were going to take one of the tackles. I still am of the belief they wanted to trade back at 15. Couldn't find anyone to come up with the tackles gone. No one wanted to touch Will Levis. it felt like that was kind of trade back. And Will McDonald's a really nice player. 2 years ago, if he comes out, it's probably a top 10 pick. He obviously didn't. He played in a 4i instead of a wide nine. The rest is history, obviously, as we know. But do you think that part of it was you felt like they kind of overpaid because the pick swap ended up kind of costing them the guy, and a guy in Broderick Jones who probably would have either started day one or been the franchise left tackle of the future?
Yeah, all really good points, Will. So the first thing I would tell you is I felt like they overpaid before the draft, right? So like Monday of draft week, right when it came to, because that's the other thing that was like a red alert for me. Why are you making this trade Monday of draft week? Like what? Okay, so if the deadline, right, you know, Andrew Brandt comes on my Ross Tucker podcast all the time, and he always says, you know, deadline spur action, right? So I guess I felt like the draft was more of a deadline for the Packers because they wanted to get 2023 picks than it was for the Jets. Now, you can argue it's for the Jets.
If they kept all those, they kept all three top 43 picks, like, I don't think any Jets fan or anyone in the Jets organization would have complained.
Exactly. And the Jets could also say, well, we had those two picks in the top 42, 43, whatever. So now is the time to do it. This is my perception, Will, and take it for whatever it's worth, right? Because there's still two different things to do. There's the deal itself, and then there's like the why they did the deal. Here's why they did the deal, I think. I think this is year five for Joe Douglas, or football season five. I think this is football season three for Robert Saleh. And I think that they both know that they need to go to the playoffs this year. You know, there's some stat out there where the Jets have like the longest drought of any team out there in the four. I'm sure you've heard it, whatever. I like the Jets. Like Jets would be an awesome team to play for. Florham Park, New Jersey. I got buddies that live in Madison and in Chatham. That would be amazing. Like, that'd be like, and I actually love Jets fans because they're so diehard. I mean, so loyal, so diehard. But here's my feelings. And I've talked to enough people over the years to feel pretty strongly about this, right? I feel like they give up too much. And we'll get to that, right? But why do they give up too much? Well, Joe Douglas, right? He needs to make the playoffs this year. And so does Saleh. And guess what? I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. And I think Woody's going to give them both a contract extension after this year. Because I know this much. Woody loves having the star quarterback. Woody loves having that shiny object. I mean, it's clear from his social media how we feel in Jets fans. And Woody's the biggest reason why I think that they went out of their way to get the deal done Monday of draft week. I think he wanted it done. I think he wanted to start that process. So from Joe Douglas's perspective, I firmly believe the Jets make the playoffs this year. And I think he gets a contract extension. And then from Joe's perspective, it's like, okay, well, I'll figure out the rest of it after that. But I got to stay. Like, I got to do something to get an extension and be able to continue to do this. And I'm sure Saleh was on board. And that's what this trade and Aaron Rodgers represent for them. This trade and Aaron Rodgers represent contract extensions for both those guys, which is huge. I mean, they're making a lot of money to get that second deal, which a lot of head coaches and GMs never get. Is significant. For Woody Johnson, I've seen the statistics on the season ticket sales. I've seen the tickets on the luxury box sales. I've seen some stuff in terms of their social media and their merch and all these things. I think Woody is very much getting what he wants. Now, does Woody want to win? Yes, he does want to win. But he also wants the buzz. He also wants the business side of the football operations, which I think is what Aaron Rodgers represents. My thing is, now I've heard some rumblings, nothing's official yet, but that, you know, when Rodgers signs this new deal, Will, that I think it's going to be pretty clear, maybe Pro Football Talk had this, that he's committing to play for 2 years. That's a big difference, because my whole thing was the Jets just gave up a 2 and a 1. Forget even the pick swap, but the Jets gave up a 2 and a 1 for the right to pay a guy $60 million for one season who didn't play great last year. I mean, that's say it out loud.
Yeah, it sounds nuts if it's for the right
to pay a guy $60 million who didn't play that great the last year. Now, if he plays 2 years, that's a little bit different. What I would have liked to have seen is a conditional pick on 2025 based on whether or not Rodgers plays in 2024. That to me would have been fair, right? If he plays in 2024, I don't think it's a disaster for the Jets. It's not, well, look, it's never a disaster for the Jets if they make the playoffs this year, because a lot of people are getting the contract extensions and the Jets fans will be happy, and fans should be happy. I get it. But if they, like I said, if he plays in 2024, that mitigates things a lot, because then you get two bites at the apple, hopefully two really good seasons with a growing young team other than Rodgers, and two chances. Because otherwise, let me ask you this, Will, as a Jets fan, okay? Because you're not just a fan. Like, you look at things objectively. I love fans like you that don't just say whatever the team does and just defend it, right? You're like, No, I thought that was too rich. I don't think blah, blah, blah. Like, I love that you can – because I think if you're really a diehard fan, you understand that there's some good and there's some bad. But let's say Rodgers only plays this year, okay? What do they have to accomplish for you to think this trade was worth it as a Jets fan?
Yeah, so I talked about this a little bit on Friday's pod. Phil Yates was kind of asking a similar thing. He's like, what do objectively, what do they need to do? And he's like, a 1 year versus 2 or 3 year window very much differs the expectations. If it's going to be a 1 year thing, which I feel really confident it's going to be 2 years, just a lot of the language, Rodgers likes to leave himself a little bit of an out all the time, but a lot of the stuff he's been saying feels 2 years-ish, the new deal that's going to, I guess, get restructured here, apparently this week. We'll see. If they don't get to the conference title game this year and it's a one-year window, it's probably at least win a playoff game. I feel like you have to, at least if you're a wild card team, you get to the divisional round, and if you're the sixth seed and you lose to KC 27-24 in round two, you're probably like, you know what, this was a really fun year. We won 12 games. We got a playoff win in. We kind of broke some of the juju. I think part of the reason – folks like yourself and a lot of people, honestly, and even myself, the difficult part with this deal is it being 2 years changes everything, because eventually they will need that young quarterback. They're going to, in 2 years, 2 years time, they'll pay the Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardeners of the world. And then you're going to need that cheaper quarterback who's younger, and you want to be able to have your first round picks and things like that to move up to go get the next, next guy that the Jets fans or veteran, whoever it is. If they only have a quarterback like Rodgers for 1 year, you don't really have a lot of flexibility to go get a guy next year. So that's why you really need him for 2 years. But I think I said the expectation, whether it's even a year or multiple years, they ought to be in the divisional round every year, I think. And, get past that. Obviously you like to say conference title game, Super Bowl. I think starting with either trying to host a playoff game, which they haven't done since 2002, which is insane, or getting to the second round, winning playoff games, being a team that's in the conversation, because you don't want to end up like what Miami was the last couple of years, where they invest every single dollar, every single draft pick. And while Miami might be really good this year, still haven't won a playoff game in like 20 plus years. So you don't want to be sitting there like that. That's not where I think the Jets want to be. I think you want to be in at least the conversation where, I know Bills fans are disappointed, but at least the Bills have won playoff games. They've gotten the conference title games. You still feel, if you objectively look back at it, like, it might be disappointing, but you feel pretty good. I think if you're the Jets, you got to get to the divisional round this year. I would like to say conference title game. I just know the AFC's stacked, and we don't know how quickly they'll mesh, when they'll play the Eagles, when they'll play the Chiefs, things like that. But I agree with you on the contract extensions as well. I think Woody wanted this deal. I think the Jets know, Robert Saleh knows, we cannot risk, the Ryan Tannehills of the world. Like, as much as he is a solid NFL player, you can't risk in this AFC not having even like a top five, top seven, top 10 guy. And we don't know, is Rodgers going to be 2020 run Rodgers, where really good defense, good offensive line, obviously some health questions there, good skill group, healthy. Does he look really good? Or is he 2022 where, he put up decent numbers, but Rodgers is making way too much money to be putting up 26-12.
Yeah, and to your point, Will, that's the other thing I said to people that are saying, oh, Jets Super Bowl and Jets this. I mean, he hasn't been able to get to the Super Bowl in 13 years playing at home in Green Bay in against the lesser NFC. And now people think that he's going to go, likely, I would think, maybe they win the division, but I think it's probably more likely on the road and win in Cincinnati or win in Kansas City or win in Buffalo. I mean, maybe, but the degree of difficulty feels a lot higher than playing at home against Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, in the playoffs. So we'll see. I think I love the way he is hanging out in New York and going to all the different games. Now, I don't know. I thought most Jets fans were Islanders fans that I know, not Rangers fans, but I guess some, you could probably give me the breakdown of Rangers versus Devils
versus Islanders
for Jets fans. Maybe like a
65, maybe like 65, 35 Islanders, Rangers. But I think he's
like, what about the Devils?
That I don't see, like, this is my thing with hockey. Like, I've only ever been a Rangers or Islanders fans. I don't know any Devils fans. Like, I just don't know any.
I've never met a Brooklyn Nets fan.
I'm the only probably Brooklyn Nets fan you've ever met. And I was a New Jersey Nets fan, Vince Carter, Kenny and Martin. Like, that was my thing. So there's very few Nets and Devils fans. It feels like, no offense to any of those people listening. But yeah, no, I think I was gonna ask you about this, is how important is him being in the facility around for OTAs and things like that? I know some people make much bigger deal out of it. Some people think it doesn't matter. I feel like this is pretty important that he's there with these young guys, even if it's just for a couple of weeks, just showing like, I'm not too cool for you guys. I'm going to be part of the team. I think when you go somewhere new, you've been in locker rooms before, you understand, like, showing you're not a dickhead that's going to go and train on your own and you're the whatever. I think that's important for some of this, a young roster that's never won. So at least being around a guy who's been there, has won a Super Bowl, as much as it was a long time ago, won MVPs. I think that's really important that he's around the facility, hanging out with guys and things like that.
Yeah, so a couple things, right? And I love that he's making the most out of New York and going to all those games. That's what I would do. I mean, more power to him.
Not?
That's exactly what I would do. It's freaking amazing. Especially if I was single, I'd be doing more than that. I would say I think it's important because it kind of sends a message that, like, I'm all in. I'm here and I'm in. And you know what's interesting, Will? There's just a different vibe when you have a stud quarterback and he's there or not. Okay? So I played for anybody watching, you can see all my helmets and game balls and stuff. Like, I played for five teams over 7 years, right? And I actually, this is important for you to know. When you have like a, like when I was in New England with Brady, right? You expect to win. Like, late in the game, you know you're going to win the game. Like, maybe you're down by 3 or 6, but you're like, well, we're going to win. We have Brady. That's just what happens, right? When you have a good quarterback, like when I was in Buffalo with Bledsoe, you're like, you think you're going to win, right? Like, we're going to get this done. Drew will get this done for us, right? When you have lesser quarterbacks, I won't name those guys, but I had them too. You're like, man, I hope this guy can do this. That dude, Will, you played high-level football. Like, that is a massive psychological difference, okay? And I'll give you another example. This is why, because I was in New England 05 and 06, so they traded me to Cleveland. This is what I think Belichick missed. I think Belichick thought that all the guys fell in line and were so locked in all the time because of him and the Patriot way. When the reality is, my perception when I was there was that Tom was such a psycho, and Tom would get as mad at himself as he would at anybody else if he screwed up. But, like, you really didn't want to let him down. I mean, Will, that was my 5th and 6th years in the NFL. I can remember my 6th year in the NFL. I'm in New England, 2005. Nope, 2006. And it's OTAs, like this time of year, okay? And I'd be center sometimes with Brady, a quarterback. And he'd come in the huddle. And two things I never forget. I tell people this all the time, Will. He'd come in the huddle and he'd be like, all right, Ross, you and me, great snap first, right? And in my, and like I said, I'm like, got it. Yeah, I got it, man. But in my head, I'm like, okay, Tom. And Will, I had played in 42 games. I had started 24, 25 at that point. Like, I wasn't like some rookie. But when he said that to me, dude, those are the best snaps of my life. Like, I wasn't going to give Tom Brady a bad freaking snap. You know what I mean? And by the way, he cared that much about it. Like, 18 years I played football, never met a quarterback that cared that much about the snap. So let's relate it back to the Jets, right? When Rodgers is there in the weight room or in the meetings or on the field, none of those guys want to be the one that let him down. They don't want to be the one. Like, you run your route and it's Zach Wilson and you screw something up, you're like, okay, but whatever. Like, you know, you're not happy about it, but what's Zach going to say? He screws up all the time. You know, you screw something up and Rodgers is the quarterback, first ballot Hall of Famer, you're like, oh, you know what, right? Like, so I think he needs to be there not only to, like, work with Garrett Wilson and these receivers and whatever. You know, that's one thing. But it sets the level of, like, intensity to everything you freaking do, man. Like, it's like Aaron's here, like, almost like sit up in your seat more, like, freaking lock in. That matters. So I'll say that. And then as it relates to the draft, because one other thing I wanted to say, right? I love Joe Tippmann. I thought Joe Tippmann was the best interior lineman in the draft. That's a bad dude right there. That is a bad dude.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, that's a bad dude. Big, mobile, you know, kind of looks more like a guard to me just because he's so big. But what I like about it is he can move. So he could go at center and give you that unusual size at that position. Now, it's interesting because I was almost 6'5", 6'4 and a half. I had a back surgery for the Bill. I think I'm less than that now, probably a little over 6'4". But it doesn't really help. I didn't find it helps you to be tall at center. So I'm curious to see. You go, dude, some of those nose tackles are like 6'1", like 320, and like you can't get leverage on him. He's obviously kind of figured that out. But here's my perception about the draft, okay? So first of all, the thing that annoys me about the pick flip switch is I thought they gave up too much before the pick swap, okay? You and I already detailed that. $60 million for 1 year, a 1 and a 2, because in my mind, the Jets had more leverage. Now, I've had GMs disagree with me and say Jets couldn't go with Zach Wilson, to which I would say the Jets still at some point, they could have pressed it till the start of training camp or longer. And like worst case scenario, they get Tannehill and they probably still make the playoffs, right? Or maybe they go the other route and they get Trey Lance and they let Trey and Zach Wilson compete. Like that's the other way they could have gone. But my point is, I felt like the Jets had other options that they didn't want to use, but that they could. What was the pack? Nobody else is going to take Aaron Rodgers for $60 million. No one else is going to give the Packers anything. The Packers are not going to pay him $60 million to be on the bench and to be in that locker room. So I just felt like the Jets didn't utilize the leverage they had. The pick swap really annoyed me because then you go behind your division rival. And I know people say Joe Douglas doesn't say anything to anybody. I mean, Will, you look at it, bro. Even, and everybody knew the Jets wanted an offensive lineman, okay? They don't even deny that. But even the mock drafts where, like, Skoronski and or Darnell Wright were still available, people still had the Jets taking Broderick Jones. They don't make that up, dude. Like, nobody else had Broderick Jones going ahead of the Jets. You never saw that. You saw Skoronski. You saw Darnell Wright. You saw Paris Johnson. But the Jets, it was always Broderick Jones, even if after that it was Skoronski or Darnell Wright. The word was out that the Jets wanted Broderick Jones, which, by the way, is why the Patriots traded down and let the Steelers come and jump them, because the Patriots knew in their mind who the Jets wanted. And then the Steelers knew in their mind who the Jets. This is not like, even if you think I'm full of crap, 1,000% that the Steelers and Patriots felt that way, right? And I just don't believe, looking at what the Jets already had with Lawson and John Franklin Myers and Jermaine, they took Jermaine last year. I just don't believe that they targeted taking a guy that most people had going in the 20s, maybe in the high round two, that they target him at 15 all along to be their fourth the end. And by the way, if they did, then that's a whole other issue. If they target a guy, you know, you haven't been in playoffs in 10 years and the guy you look at, your offensive line is still not set, and the guy you're targeting is your fourth edge rusher. Will, come on, man. Like that, like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like I think that was the frustration was, I think even fans, whether people like mock drafts, don't like mock drafts, there's certain people's mock drafts that come out, the Peter Schragers, the Daniel Jeremiah's of the world. They're usually pretty, I mean, DJ literally had the Texans trading up to 3. Like, it's not as, he didn't make that up. That was obviously something he knew was going to happen. Peter Schrager, you know, nailed both the Jets picks last year. Like, he's on, so he's, whatever, we don't have to go down that route. But I think that was part of, Will McDonald wasn't mocked to the Jets at all. And just people were caught off surprise by that. I think they saw a guy like JSN sitting there, and whether, you know, I know Rich Smeeney was on the pod the day of the draft and said, they're not going to take JSN, the hamstring injuries, they're not really into it. You know, he's a slot guy, whatever. It's fair. It's just, it felt like that was a trade back situation. You recoup a day two pick on next year's draft. You feel much better about, you know, if Rodgers only plays 1 year, maybe you move back to 21, 22 and you get him. I wanted to just hit on one quick thing. I agree with you on the Patriots situation. I think that Belichick, I think has, look, they still do things the right way. They're always going to be disciplined. They're going to play well. Last year, you know, 4 of their 7 wins were against Zach Wilson, Sam Ehlinger, and Skylar Thompson. Like, I don't buy into that, you know, they were a bad team last year. I don't think they're going to be very good again this year. Brady goes to Tampa Bay, and I think relating this back to the Jets, I think you're hoping Rodgers comes in, and you have a 2 to 3 year window the way Tom did in Tampa, where it was a really talented defense that needed 2 more pieces, and, you know, they draft Winfield and other things. They brought in a couple of linemen. They already had a talented skill group. You had a coach who people liked, and it was like, let's just put it together now and go win. The difference is, I think the Jets' defense is better. Their offensive line is not what the Bucs was, which is what's the biggest question.
Yeah, but also, and the one point I would make, I forgot to mention this. People are always like, oh, does it matter if the quarterback's there or not, or the quarterback? Well, look, there's a reason why Brady got all those guys together the COVID year in 2020, got all the Bucs together on their own, and they were working out together, and it wasn't voluntary, okay? And guess what? They won the Super Bowl that year because Brady made all those guys get – Brady was like, no, we shouldn't be able to get together, like, for the NFLPA. But then he got them together on his own because he knew it. So, yeah, and, like, here's the last thing I'll say about the draft or Will McDonald, right? Ultimately, all that matters now is how all these guys play. Like, let's not kid ourselves, okay? The Dallas Cowboys wanted to take Paxton Lynch in the draft. They weren't able to trade up and get him. Then in the 4th round, they tried to trade up to get Connor Cook, but instead the Raiders got him. So the Cowboys settled for Dak Prescott. Okay, sometimes things go your way. How about a couple years ago? The Cowboys desperately wanted J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. They're both off the board, so they trade down with the Eagles because the Eagles want to leap the Giants for Devontae Smith, and they get Micah freaking Parsons, right? So my point is like, sometimes the draft doesn't go the way you want. You have to, like, settle for some other guy. Those are, like, the 2 best draft picks for the Cowboys in decades, okay? And it was luck on some level. Like, they didn't get the guy they wanted. So maybe Will McDonald comes out. Listen, I'm going to have Greg Cosell on Wednesday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast, NFL Films legend. He said this past week, Will McDonald's a better pass rusher than Nolan Smith. And it's not right now. And Nolan Smith, people had going 8 to Atlanta or 10 to Philadelphia. And Greg's like, well, right now, Will McDonald is a better pass rusher. I'm going to ask him about his thoughts on Rodgers fitting in with you know, this offense, which I think is a positive, obviously, you know, with Hackett and the structure they have there. And get Greg's thoughts on that on Wednesday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, I'll be interested to listen to that. I know Greg, Greg's as good as it gets when it comes to some of the, you know, a lot of the pro game and a lot of the quarterback stuff. Super nice guy. I think he's an Amherst guy as well. My brother, we were talking
about the combine.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, so I thought my brother plays at Amherst. We were talking to talking at the combine.
How many brothers do you have?
There's, well, including my dad's, I'm one of six kids, but my mom's kids was me. I have me, my brother Alex, who played at Princeton, my brother Charlie plays at Amherst, and Matt, they're twins. One plays at St. Lawrence. So got a big
awesome,
group. Yeah,
man.
We got a big group, which is fun. I wanted to ask you quickly about the Jets offensive line. Obviously, you know, a line, you know, better than pretty much anybody. The Jets O line, I think, if everyone's fully healthy, which is part of the problem, but if everyone's fully healthy, you love an Elijah Vera Tucker. Lincoln Tomlinson's going to be much better than he was a year ago. Joe Tippmann, I think, is going to be an upgrade over Connor McGovern, whether he starts day one or not. I feel like he ends up starting, by the way. The fact that Salas did already an open competition with a guy who was a three-year starter, to me, means they want Tippmann to play in year one somewhere. And then you have Mekhi backed in. You have Max Mitchell, Dwayne Brown coming off a shoulder injury, and Carter Warren, and all these different guys. They signed Billy Turner. It feels like they have a lot of depth, and it feels like they have two or three guys that are, you know, like a Tom, I mean, Elijah Vera Tucker is as good as it gets, I think, in terms of just Swiss Army knife, can play anywhere, is an awesome player. Do you feel like it's just health for the Jets, or do you feel like there's still a lot of question marks, even if everyone's fully healthy? Because I feel like a guy Becton healthy is awesome. We just haven't seen him play football in 2 years.
Yeah, I think the jury's out on him. I thought he played unbelievable as a rookie, but I do think the jury's kind of out on him. What I would say to you is I like the investment of resources by Joe Douglas. I mean, looking at them right now, okay, they've got 12 guys that if they were on the roster, nobody would be like, why the heck is that guy on the roster, right? So I like that quite a bit. What I like is I feel like they're not going to be in a position where they have guys out there that can't play. I think the, you know, on some level, Will, you're only as good as, like, your worst guy that's out there. You know what I mean? On the offensive line. Like, I always make the argument you'd rather have five average dudes than three studs and two duds. Because what the studs do, like, however much of a stud you are, you're still just blocking the guy most of the time, like the average guy, right? Whereas you have two duds and you're giving up pressures and sacks and whatever, that's a problem. I like their depth and I like the competition they've created because it feels like they have what, you know, five options. You could argue at tackle, you know, with Brown and Becton and Mitchell and Turner, and I'll put Vera Tucker in there, right? Cedric Obwehi, I can't watch that guy. So forget Cedric Obwehi for a second. And then inside, even getting like Cologne from Baltimore and Schweitzer from Washington, like having these guys in the mix, they're going to come out of training camp with 10 healthy guys that are legitimate NFL starters. And so I don't know if they'll be a top five line or top 10 line. I don't know if they have that, but they shouldn't be bottom five or bottom 10. And you just can't be that, right? Like, they don't need to be a top 10 offensive line. They can't be bottom five or bottom 10.
Yeah, like that's where I set on. I think if you get AVT healthy, he's in year three, you'd assume he's going to be playing. He's playing at an all-pro level last year the first 7 weeks. I think if Tippmann if he starts and he's a good NFL lineman or an average NFL lineman in year one, you feel good about where you're at there. I think the biggest thing with him is health, and you mentioned the height. I'm assuming based on a lot of the – anyone you ask watching that watched Tippmann, when I watched him, I feel like – that bodybuilding, you know, the whatever 400-pound power clean, a lot of the squatting and stuff like that, the powerlifting background, I'm hopeful is going to be helpful for him being a bigger center of just, you know, really flexible hips. You'd hope he can, you know, maintain leverage and things like that. I still think the biggest question, unfortunately, is a tackle. And I think that's going to determine their season is what Aaron Rodgers do you get and what do you get at tackle? Because everything else, they have probably a top three defensive line in football. Maybe it's top five. You could argue it's higher. It's two or one. I don't think it's better than the Eagles 1 through 10, but the Jets have like a zillion guys that could play snaps anywhere, which is part of your frustration with the pick. I think, you know, CJ Mosley was obviously an all pro last year. Their linebackers and safety, they're okay. They probably have a top two corner room in the league. Michael Carter's a very good player. DJ Reed's obviously very good. And Sauce is a first team all pro. So like everything else, they've got good receivers. They've got, I think their backfield's awesome. Got really good depth at tight end. It's, can you, are you getting Dwayne Brown healthy? Cause he is 38 years old. And as much as he's a, you know, really well-trained veteran,
I wouldn't count on him.
Yeah.
That's I mean, they really need Brown or Becton, one of those guys, I feel like, to come through. And before you let me go, Will, I want to make sure I told you this, dude. I know you and I were texting about it.
Yeah.
Best Mother's Day gift ever. I know a lot of people haven't had a chance to get their mom or maybe their wife or whatever a Mother's Day gift. A buddy of mine started this company, so I've been plugging it for him when I go on shows. It's called myfrontpagestory.com. You literally talk to one of their writers for 10 minutes while you're driving home from work or something. They write the most unbelievable story about your mom, your wife, whatever. Dude, Will, it looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. It's framed. It's beautiful. Has pictures of them or the two of you or the kids or whatever. And I've just seen it so many times now. Like, they open it up. They don't know what the hell it is. They're like, what is, like, and you say to them, I had a story written about you. Like, that just sounds so money. My sister and I got one from my mom last year. And like my sister's quote was, I wouldn't be the woman I am today if it weren't for my mom. Well, she started bawling. Like my mom started crying, right? So go to myfrontpagestory.com. And then my mom's like in her 70s, right? So she's got one of those like condo deals, but she's got it hanging up right in her like family room / kitchen / dining room place. It's right there. So if you want to give them a gift that lasts forever because they have to hang it up in their house, it's myfrontpagestory.com. And I'm glad we had this to talk it out. Hopefully Jets fans aren't as mad at me as they appear to be on social media.
Yeah, they get fired up. There was someone posted something about the Dolphins and the Jets and Tua and Aaron Rodgers, and it turned into disaster today. So stay toxic free on Mother's Day. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out Ross's show, Ross Our NFL Podcast. You'll have Greg Cosell, as you mentioned, on Wednesday. They'll be talking some Rodgers, Will McDonald. They'll be a really good listen. You know, keep crushing. We'll have to do this again and see how maybe through the year, if Will McDonald has a couple sacks, we'll come on and we'll cold take ourselves.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's see when this contract news comes out for Rodgers, because that would make me probably feel a lot better about the deal too, which sounds like it's going to be at least 2 years.
Thanks so much. We'll be back. Wednesday. Kyle Brandt, another friend of Ross, former teammate, friend of mine, will be on Wednesday. Mike Renner Thursday. Trevor Sikkema Thursday as well. So make sure you guys are tuned in. Check out Ross's show, and we'll talk to you guys Wednesday.